coming. I need that beat.
It's
where are we starting from? The first one? Okay.
Go back a slide, yeah.
Sing a little louder.
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 Sing a little louder. Here we go.
Let's sing a little louder.
Oh,
let's sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
All right.
in the middle of the storm.
Doesn't go back to I'm gonna sing. Yeah, take that last slide off of that one too, Miguel, please. Just end it on the last. Thank you. There was another slide after it, so we'll just end like that. Oh, we keep going. Okay, y'all stop. So, or somebody did. Oh, keep it on there, Miguel. Michael Jackson. How are you?
Was that rock with you?
Tonight? I say that every time, but I am going to try to come tonight.
Church of Christ was born.
got together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Stephen on Thursday to just go in after the presence of God and try to pen lyric and melody. And after a couple of hours, it just felt like the presence of God just stopped everything. And we wrote a song called The Blessing. And it's straight from Scripture. And it's the heart of the Father over us as his kids. And we're going to sing it this morning, if that's okay. And this is a blessing over you and your family and your children. So just receive this morning. Just put your hands out in front of you. Turn your heart to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God himself over you this morning.
Children and their children, may his favor be upon you and Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you. Won't you stand up together with me?
Let's go, mate.
We welcome you to Ascend Church today. We're so glad you're here. And all those watching online, we're so glad you're watching online. And worship with us today. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 95, I love it. It says, come on, everyone, let's sing for joy to the Lord. It says, let's shout our loudest praises to our God who saved us. Everyone, come meet his face with a thankful heart. Don't hold back your praises. Make him great by your shouts of joy. For the Lord is the greatest of all. He is the King God of all other gods. Lord, we come today to make your name famous, to lift you up, to give you praise, Lord. We come with a thankful heart because we are thankful for your goodness in our life. Jesus, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for coming to this earth and laying your life down to redeem us. Lord, we are so thankful for all your goodness, and we praise you today with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a big hand of praise, everybody. Put your hands together today and make a joyful shout to the Lord. Sing with us. Clap your hands. Sing along. Come on, let's give God our best praise today. What do you say? You say amen, everybody?
Amen.
Let's give him praise today. Raise a hallelujah.
Sing a little louder.
Together.
Love. tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't.
Jesus has given me. this, what we're singing comes from Scripture. It says that Jesus has been raised to the Father's right hand, and it says that we are seated in heavenly places in Him. There is victory to be had, family. There is victory that has already been won. And the Bible says that God put everything under Jesus' feet. And if we are His body, then everything is under our feet, right? And right now we're going to take the Bible. We're singing it. We're singing. That's what excites me, is because we are singing a truth from the Word of God, that we have authority because of what Jesus has done for us. And so, you know, you might say, well, you know, if Jesus has won the victory, how come I'm facing a challenge? How come I'm facing this in my life? How come I'm seeing this go wrong in my life? I'm talking to those that are watching online as well. Welcome to church this morning. But there are things that are happening in your life that you have to stand in the victory that Christ has bought for you and take authority over that which is coming against you. Amen. And so I'm going to pray right now, and we're going to declare every area of our lives comes in line with what He has done. Amen. When we open our mouth and we speak, miracles start happening. Things start changing, because it's not our words. We are speaking out what has already been done. Amen. And so if there's anything in your life, if you're having an attack physically, something in your body that's not right, something that's coming against you, if you're having an attack in your family, if you're having marriage trouble or trouble with your kids or whatever it is, financial situation that you're facing, we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray right now. We're going to take authority over that. Amen. And when we do sing when we do sing this final song, we will have our prayer team come up here, and you're welcome to slip out of your seat. If you're in the building, slip out of your seat, and we will stand in agreement and join our faith with yours and pray and believe God with you. Amen. But we're going to pray right now. So if you're here, if you have something that's in your body, if you're at home and there's something that's affecting you, just put your hand right on that place that is giving you trouble. If you picture whatever situation it is that you want help from the Lord, and we're going to pray right now. Father God, I come before you in the victory and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we believe your word. We believe, Jesus, that every name, every knee bows to the name of Jesus, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And so I take authority over every attack that has come against your people right now. Father, physically, I speak healing, signs, wonders, miracles into that body. Father, we command pain to go. We command cysts and tumors to begin to dissolve, that the roots of cancer are pulled out. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak life with our words. We declare healing. We declare health. We declare victory. We take authority over every principality and power that would come against marriages, come against children. Right now, if that's in your family, say, I receive that. Father, we declare your victory over every area of their life, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive it. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. So if there is something, if you want us to just join with you in something in prayer that today in the building, just step out during this last song. But for the rest of us, this is an opportunity for us to worship God. The Bible says the way we come into His presence is with worship. We don't sing to pass time. We don't sing to make the service more interesting. We sing because it is an entry into the presence of God. So if you have to close your eyes, unless you're reading the words, but just forget about those people on either side of you. Just forget about who's around you, and make this between you and the Lord. Make this between you, that we're singing, you're the King of my heart. Worship Him from your heart today, family. In Jesus' name, thank you.
me.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I am, the fountain I drink from, always my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, always my song. 'Cause you are good, you are good, oh. 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 And let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves, always my song. And let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, always my song. 'Cause you are good, you are good. Come on, sing.
You're never gonna let me down. Come on, let's sing it, church. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Lift your voice.
Turn and greet someone. Tell them it's good to see them today. Welcome to those watching online. Praise God. Well, good to see you today. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're glad you are part of our service today. Come to worship with us. I thank God that we're able to meet together. And there's still so many people not meeting together, and I want it to change, right? Welcome to those that are watching Facebook Live, watching on our website, watching on our mobile app. We're glad that you joined us today. We ask you to just find a comfortable spot, somewhere you're not distracted, and be a part of the service today. I love to hear from the Word of God. How about you? Amen. Anybody?
Amen.
Good, good. Well, I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. I've seen a number of visitors, and we're so glad that you are part of our church. You've come to visit today. I don't know if someone invited you or how you came to be here, but I always believe it's not by accident. You know, sometimes we turn around and we look and we say, gee, God was kind of directing my footsteps like He says He would, right? And so if you are here for the first time, welcome. We pray that you get everything you need out of the service, that God speaks to you, and that you are comforted and encouraged and strengthened. And we'd like to just give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? We don't want to embarrass you. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Number of visitors all over, so just wave it a little more so that our ushers can just, so that they can identify you and just give you a visitor pack there. In there's a couple of things, one being a guest card, a white guest card. If you take a moment and fill that out, it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you, just find out how you enjoyed the service, so we appreciate you filling that out for us. At the end of the service, we'll pass an offering bucket by and just drop that card in. So thank you for doing that. And you got a good message for us, right? You have, right? Do you know that we have a, while I'm up here, let me mention it. Jennifer, won't you just stand up where you are for a moment? Jennifer Ortiz and her partner, Amy, are going to be tenants in our building, and they have an excellent school that is starting up on the 17th of August. They've set up those classrooms, 24th, you are getting ready for the 24th, and they've been having open house and signing up. And if you know anyone who's looking for like educational options, because everything's changed, and so this is a homeschool hybrid, but it has teachers. They'll have classes, small groups, all ages. They have an option for the afternoons for craft and play. So if you have any questions, come and see her, and we have information for you. So we're excited about that. I'm excited. I think that it's going to be a blessing to our community. It's going to be a blessing to people in our church, and it's going to bring our church to the attention of some families that don't go to church. So I like that. It's awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. You're supposed to say it's good to see you too. In this church, we like response. Just to let you know. Don't sit there with your mouth closed. The quietest one gets up on stage. The quieter you are, the more chance you got of getting up on the stage. I like amen, that's it. Preach it, Pastor Steve, that's good. We like that. Amen. And I've got news for you, so does God. God loves it when you respond to Him. Amen. There was a good chance to say amen. And well, I want to welcome everyone who's watching us online today. We have people watching us from all over the world. We're so glad you tuned in today, and especially want to say hey to all of our members of Ascend Church that are watching online. We want you to know we miss you. We can't wait to see you again, and we're praying for you. We love you, and I'm just so glad that you're watching online. You know, even if you are staying at home, I would encourage you to still make Sunday morning church time. Even if you're at home, that's when, if you're staying home, then do church at home. In other words, put aside from 10 to 11:30. I'm not going to let any distraction. I'm going to put my phone off and all that, and I'm just going to focus. You're in church. Even if you're at home, you're in church. Make it a time unto God where nothing else interferes with that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't say, well, I'll try and watch the service if I get a chance later on when I have some time. No, make Sunday morning. That's the time where you come to church, whether you're at home or whether you're here, you're in church. You missed another chance to say amen right there. I can see I've got my work cut out for me today. Lordy, lordy. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I also want to say that we prayed for you today before the service. From 9:15 to 9:45, we started praying. Don't stop playing. We started praying, upstairs. When you come in the lobby, if you go up these stairs, on the first right, we've got a room that seats about 40, 50 people. And we come at 9:15 and we pray for 30 minutes. And I want to encourage you to come and pray with us. Firstly, because you need to pray. There you go. You're catching on. Secondly, our country needs you to pray. Amen. Listen, don't sit criticizing everything that's happening. God's called us to pray. Because let me tell you, when we pray, things happen. The future and well-being of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It's in the hands of the church. Because we get down on our knees and pray, and God moves in the nation. This nation was founded by Christians. This nation was built upon Christian principles. No matter what anybody tells you, go research it. That's a fact. And let me tell you, this nation, Jesus, is still Lord of America. And we still pray, Lord God, bless America. God, protect America. And God, guide America. And as we pray, God responds. He hears and He answers our prayers. And that's why this nation is blessed. Because it was founded by believers, and we are determined this country will remain a Christian nation that proclaims Jesus as Lord. Can you say amen? Don't get me started up, man. You want to be Muslim? Wonderful. Go to a Muslim nation. This is a Christian nation. Jesus rules in this nation. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. So I want to encourage you, come join us for prayer. Even if you can't get there at 9:15, you can come in any time between 9:15 and 9:05. 9:15 and 9:45, you can slip in at any time and come and pray. But you know, Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. And I really believe it's important for us, the church, to be praying. Do you agree with that? Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? If you're watching online, please let us know where you're watching from. If you're watching on Facebook, put a comment where you're watching from. We'd love to hear from you. I pray this is going to be a blessing to you today. Father, thank you for every person that is here today, every person that is watching this. I pray for each and every one, Lord. I pray that they would be filled with your grace. I pray that they would have revelation and understanding of your amazing grace today. I pray that not one person would leave here the same way they came in, but they would be changed forever in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I promise to give you alone all the praise, all the honor, all the glory for everything that will be said and everything that will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Give the band a big round of applause, Will. We appreciate the band. Did a great job today. Thank you for your hard work rehearsing. You come and rehearse on Thursday, rehearse early this morning. You're getting better and better every week that goes by. We appreciate you, don't we? Well, today I want to speak to you about amazing grace. Say amazing grace. Christianity is known as the religion of grace. We all know the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, I know what that's talking about. It's talking about that God has saved us, not because of anything we've done, but by His grace. Even when we were sinners, He saved us. But let me tell you, there's more to the grace of God than that. That's not all there is about amazing grace. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 10. He said, God's amazing grace has made me who I am. And His grace to me was not fruitless. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength, but God's, for His empowering grace is poured out upon me. Paul said, everything that I am because of the grace of God. He said, everything that I've done, I worked harder than all the other apostles. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was given unto me, poured out upon me. Family, grace is an empowering. It's a divine empowering that enables you to do what you couldn't normally do by yourself. If you look up the word grace in the dictionary, it'll tell you that grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. And I agree with that. I agree that that's true. But grace is more than that. The dictionary is limited in defining what the grace of God is. We first receive God's grace when we believe in Jesus, when we receive Jesus into our heart. That's when we first receive the grace of God. In Ephesians 2 verse 4, it says, but God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. It, even when we were dead and doomed by our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, which we sang about today. It says, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace. Say, I am the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace. It says, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in Him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. If you read that in the New King James Version, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are saved by grace, not by anything that we have done. It is the gift of God. Grace is what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world, because all the other religions in the world are spelt do. It tells you what you got to do. You got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And then maybe you'll have a chance of making it into heaven. That's what religion is. Religion is, this is what you have to do. Christianity is not spelt do. Christianity is spelt done, D-O-N-E, because Jesus has done what we could never do. Jesus brought grace to us. Amen. And the Bible says in John 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus was grace personified. And one of the things that the religious people hated about Jesus was the mercy and the grace that He showed towards sinners. The Gospels are filled with examples of it. In John chapter 8, for example, some religious leaders, they brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught the Bible says they caught her in the very act of adultery. And they reminded Jesus that the penalty under the law was that she should be stoned to death. And they asked Jesus, what should we do? They were trying to trap Him so that they wanted to accuse Him of breaking God's law. Jesus never answered them. The Bible says He started writing in the sand. And they were angry. They insisted that He answer. So finally He said, okay, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And if you read the Passion, it says, let him who never had a sinful desire. Let me see your hand if you never had a sinful desire. Can I see your hand? Any liars in the place today? If you never had a sinful desire, the Bible says, throw the first stone. That eliminates everybody. Then Jesus stooped down and he carried on writing in the sand. And I always wonder, what did he write? Because the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. Maybe he wrote the Ten Commandments. Maybe he wrote all the names of the religious leaders' girlfriends down in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but the Bible says her accusers, they were convicted in their conscience. And one by one, they all left. And finally, Jesus was left alone with a woman and he said to her, dear woman, where are all your accusers? Is there no one to condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And He said, I don't condemn you either. Go and be free from a life of sin. And let me tell you, Jesus brought mercy. Jesus brought grace. The religious people hated him for it. They scornfully called him the friend of sinners and tax collectors. That was their like the worst thing they could come up with. He's a friend of sinners. Because he was so welcoming to sinners, Jesus was comfortable with the people that the religious people deemed to be beneath them, deemed to be Satan's people. And so the ultimate scorn they could heap on Jesus from their perch of sanctimonious self-righteousness was he was a friend of sinners. It was unthinkable to them that Jesus could come close to a sinner or that he could allow a sinner to come close to him. It was the issue that caused them to reject Jesus. The outrage was because he claimed to be the most holy, righteous Son of God, the Lord and Messiah, and yet he was merciful to sinners that they looked down on sinners, but Jesus was a friend of sinners. In fact, the rabbis used to say, you don't go near a sinner, even to teach them the law. And Jesus addressed it. He spoke about it in Luke chapter 18. He taught this parable to those who were convinced that they were morally upright and those who trusted in their own virtue, yet they looked down on others with disgust, the scripture says. Once there were two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a proud religious leader and the other was a despised tax collector. The religious leader stood apart from the others. He prayed, oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not wicked like everyone else. They're cheaters, they're swindlers, they're crooks, that tax collector over there. God, you know I never cheat. I never commit adultery. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of all that I make. And the tax collector stood off alone in the corner away from the holy place and he covered his face in his hands and he felt he was unworthy to even look up to God and he beat his breast and he sobbed and he was broken and with tears he said, God, please, in your mercy and because of the blood sacrifice, forgive me, for I am nothing but the most miserable of sinners. Jesus said, which one of them left for home that day made right with God? It was the humble tax collector and not the religious leader. For everyone who praises himself will one day be humiliated before all. And everyone who humbles himself will one day be lifted up and honored before all. Jesus said in Matthew 9 verse 13, go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you read the New Living Translation, it says, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I've come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. How many of you, I knew I was a sinner, man. There is no doubt about it. I knew that I was a sinner. And the truth is that we are all sinners. We all need Jesus. We all need grace. We all need God to save us. The Living Bible says, I've come to urge sinners, not the self-righteous, back to God. We are all sinners. Romans 3 verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. None of us can save ourselves. Doesn't matter how good you are. You can go to church five times every Sunday. You can give 10th of your income. You can do all those things. None of those things can save you, because if it could, if you could be saved by your own good works, then Jesus would not have needed to come to the earth. You could have saved yourself. The fact is, none of us can save ourselves. Romans 5 verse 6 says, for when the time was right, the anointed one came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak and powerless to save ourselves. Do you realize we are powerless to save our own soul? Only Jesus can save our soul. That's why Jesus came to the earth, to take our sin upon himself and to pay the price for our sin. That's why he came. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Say, I've been made right with God through Christ. See, everyone can be made right with God by believing in what Jesus did and receiving the grace of God. That's the gospel of grace. The gospel is not that God gives salvation to the people who earn it, or the people who deserve it, or the people who achieve it, or the people who are good enough, or the people who are righteous enough. No, he gives salvation to the ungodly, to the unholy. Those who believe in Jesus and who repent, that's the difference between the true gospel and all other religions in the world. Amen. But that's not the end of grace, because many people, they get saved by receiving God's grace, but then they try and live the Christian life in their own strength and in their own ability. They don't realize that grace is not just for salvation. We are to continue to live for God by depending on the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul, he understood this. He said, everything I am and everything I do is because of the grace of God. He had a revelation of grace. He said in Acts 13, verse 43, it says, Paul and Barnabas, who continued to persuade them to go deeper in their understanding of God's grace. You see, I'm attempting today to give you a deeper understanding about the grace of God, because this is what Paul's life was all about. In Acts 20, 24, Paul said, whether I live or die is not important. You know, for some Christians, it's really important. Their life is real precious to them. You just give a threat. There's a disease out there, pandemic. And if you get it, there's a half a percent chance that you may die. You shut the world down. Their life is very important to them. Paul said, my life is not important. He said, I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace. He said, that's my job, is to tell people about the grace of God. Whether I live or die, that's not important. What's important is to fulfill the ministry that God has given me to proclaim the news about God's grace. Can you say amen, somebody? You know why Christians are afraid to die? What the heck? What are you coming to church for if you're afraid to die? Our whole goal is to get to heaven one day. That's what this is all about. Your life's going to be over like that. Whether you live to be 100 years old, it goes just like that. What matters is eternity. In Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul said this. I am shocked how quickly you've strayed away from the anointed one who called you to himself by his loving mercy. I'm frankly astounded that you now embrace a distorted gospel. This is a fake gospel. Can you believe that's in the Bible? A fake gospel. It's simply not true. There's only one gospel, the gospel of the Messiah. And yet you have allowed those who mingle law with grace to confuse you with lies. Anyone who comes to you with a different message than the grace gospel that you receive will have the curse of God come upon them. For even if we or an angel appeared before you to give you a different gospel than what you've already proclaimed, God's curse be upon them. In Ephesians 3 verse 7, Paul said, I've been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me. He said, even though I'm the least significant of all his holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. Grace alone empowers me. He said, grace alone empowers me. So that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul said, God's marvelous grace enables us to minister. Say this, say, God's grace enables me. Say, God's grace empowers me. See, Paul said, the grace of God alone empowers me. The grace of God is not just to save you and make you right with God. The grace of God has been given to you as a divine enabling power that empowers you to do what you couldn't do by yourself. In fact, grace, let me give you my definition of grace. Grace is God's ability working for us and working in us, enabling us to do what we can't do in our own ability. You see, we couldn't save ourselves. Jesus came and paid the price to save us. That was grace giving us, working for us, doing what we couldn't do. And then once we receive Jesus, we receive the grace of God. We have this divine empowerment that enables us to do what we couldn't normally do by ourselves. Grace is God's ability, God's strength, God's power. That's why Paul, He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. He said, Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace. Live your life empowered by the grace of God, which is your true strength found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with him. The New Living Bible translation says it like this, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now, you know what people often, I hear them say? They say, Pastor Steve, I'm trying so hard to be strong for the Lord. I'm trying to be strong for God. No, God doesn't want you to be strong for him. God wants you to be strong through the grace of God that he's given you. I'm strong through the grace of God. Grace is what gives me strength. Grace is what gives me empowerment. Are you following me? His grace is not just to save us. It's an enabling power. Too many people are worried about their future and they live stressed out. They wonder, what's going to happen, Pastor Steve, if I get laid off? How am I going to handle it if my loved one doesn't make it? When my parents are getting older, how am I going to take care of them? I've got my own family to take care of. Let me tell you the answer. God's grace gives you strength, and his grace is going to be there at every stage of your life to help you do what you need to do. Grace is going to give you strength, going to give you wisdom, going to give you favor to accomplish what you normally could not accomplish on your own. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 8, this superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Do you know the grace of God working in you will give you wisdom? It's the grace of God giving you wisdom. If you're in a difficult marriage or raising a child that's hard, or maybe you're facing a sickness, one thing you can count on is the grace of God will be there. The grace of God will be with you. Maybe you're facing some very difficult things and in the natural, you don't see how you're going to make it through. Maybe business is slow or someone walked out of a relationship with you, or maybe people talking about you. It'll be easy to get discouraged and feel overwhelmed. But I want you to have a new perspective today that nothing that you are facing is a surprise to God. Nothing is not a surprise to God. He's already lined up the grace, the favor. He's already set into motion everything you need, not just to endure it, not just to make it through, but you're going to feel a supernatural force breathing in your direction. It's the grace of Almighty God empowering you, causing you to rise up with eagle's wings, and you're not going to just get through it. You're going to soar through it. You're going to come out of it better than what you were before in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 18, when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace. When you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but you will be soaring above it. You see, the grace of God enables you it lifts you up. It causes you to soar. One day you're going to look back and with amazement, just to see what God has done in your life. And you'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am who I am today, and I am where I am today because of the grace of God that has empowered me. Can you say amen? The Apostle Paul endured some incredible obstacles. The Bible tells us he was put in prison a number of times. He was whipped 5 times with 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. I mean, he faced much danger, and yet he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He established numerous churches. Everything he accomplished was because of grace. And the good news is God's grace is available to you, just like it was available to the Apostle Paul. Maybe you're worried you're going to get laid off. Maybe your company's downsizing. You don't know what you're going to do. I hope that doesn't happen, but let me speak faith over you. Can I declare something over your future for you today? Because you're a child of the Most High God, and because you know who you are in Christ, even if it did happen, you're not going to fall apart. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to have a chip on your shoulder. You're going to feel a power that you never felt before. You're going to have a strength. You're going to have a resolve. You're going to have a determination like you've never known. That's God releasing his grace in a greater way in your life. That's what Paul prayed for Timothy. Paul prayed for Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 2. He said, my beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love and total well-being to flow into your life. I pray for you today for a greater release of the grace of God to flow into your life in Jesus' name. The apostle James, in James 4 verse 6, he said, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you're proud, but continually pours out grace when you're humble. You see, grace is received when you're humble. What is humility? Humility is acknowledging, Lord, I need you. Humility, I can't do it by myself, Lord. I need your grace. I need you. Pride is, I don't need the grace of God. I've got this. I can do this. I can handle this in my own strength. Humility is, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. And the more humble you are, the more grace you receive from God. 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, God resists you when you're proud, but he multiplies grace and favor when you're humble. That's why we don't have to worry about our future, family, because God's got you covered. God promised he will not allow a situation to come without giving us grace to make it through victoriously. Grace is what enables us to live in victory. Say, grace enables me to live in victory. That's what the Bible says, Romans 5 verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. Say, I'm reigning as a king in life. Everybody say, I'm reigning as a king in life because of the grace of God. The New Living Translation says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. It says, all those who receive the grace of God, it enables us to live in triumph over sin. Do you know that the grace of God empowers you to triumph over sin? In Romans 6, 17, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. The reason why sin doesn't have to dominate you is because you're under grace. You have the grace of God working on inside of you. God's empowering ability enabling you to do what you couldn't do by yourself. That's called grace. The Passion Bible said, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by the law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Say, sin will not conquer me. Because I'm governed by the grace of God. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has come for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation of all mankind. Grace has come that I can be delivered from sin, that I can triumph over sin, and that I can live a holy life before the Lord. The Passion Bible says, God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. The same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles and equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Say, grace equips me to live an upright, holy life in the name of Jesus. See, listen, grace doesn't just forgive us from our sin. Grace empowers us to resist and overcome sin. Grace doesn't allow us to live an immoral life. Because there's some wrong teaching that I've heard about grace. Some people say because we're under the grace of God and we're not under the law, that there is no such thing as sin anymore. That all your sins, past, present, and future, have already been removed. And you don't even have to confess. You can't sin anymore because Jesus already paid the price. You don't even have to confess your sin. You don't even have to ask God to forgive you because sin's already been paid for. So nothing is a sin now. So you can do anything you want because you're under grace. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Jude 1 verse 4. They have perverted the message of God's grace into a license to commit immorality and turn against our only absolute master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have perverted the message of grace into saying, well, you can do whatever you want to do because you're under the grace of God. That's a lot of garbage. Garbage, as the French would say. Romans 6 verse 1 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it any longer? The Living Bible says, should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. You see, God's grace gives us power to triumph over sin. If we do sin, then what do? God's grace and mercy is there to forgive us and cleanse us. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help you in time of need. You know what I love? That God calls his throne a throne of grace. He could call it the throne of all power. He could call it the throne of all authority. But you know what he calls his throne? A throne of grace. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. So if you do sin, if you do you do something, you know you missed it, you lost your temper, you did something that was wrong, the grace of God is there to forgive you. It'll never leave you. Jesus said in Luke 21:18, don't worry, my grace will never desert you and it'll never depart from your life. There is always grace when we sin. The Bible says if we confess it, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen, somebody? Amen. What do we do if the economy goes down even more? God's grace will be poured out even stronger. What if my loved one I'm praying for doesn't make it? God's grace is going to show up in a greater way than I ever would have imagined. What if this lawsuit drags on another 5 years, Pastor Steve? Then God's grace is going to give you strength to keep on keeping on. The Bible says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You see, grace always supersedes the opposition. That means if you got a big problem, get ready, because grace is coming in a big way. Maybe you have a major opportunity. God has opened a door for you to start a new business or a new job or maybe purchase a new home. You need to get ready because God is about to release his favor in a major way in your life, because when the opportunity abounds, God's grace will abound much more. When problems abound, his solutions abound much more. His grace always supersedes whatever you're up against. Are you with me? I look at my own life. I see where God's grace enabled me, where God's grace showed up. It empowered me beyond my natural ability. I got married when I was 18. I became a father when I was 19. The grace of God empowered me to be a good father. I raised 4 children. I have 7 grandchildren. All my children doing great, and all my children love Jesus, and all my children are serving the Lord. The grace of God enabled me to raise my children that turn out like that. I give the grace of God all the credit. When I was 19 years old, Pastor Theo asked me to teach in the Bible school. I was still living in South Africa. I had no formal training. I didn't finish high school. And I was very shy in those days. I didn't know how to prepare a sermon. But somehow, God gave me grace that I was able to prepare all these different curriculums. And at the end of the year, Pastor Theo did a secret survey. He wanted the students to rate their favorite teachers. I don't know why he did that, but he did. And I came up number 2. He was number 1. I was number 2. Let me tell you, that was by the grace of God that enabled me, because in my own ability, I can't get up in front of people and talk like this because I'm shy. When I was in school, man, you had to sometimes speak in front of the class, I'd be like this. First time I started preaching, my knees were having fellowship like this. This is not natural for me. This is the grace of God that has enabled me. When God told us to leave South Africa and start a church here in Florida, we started in Palm Beach Gardens. We started out, we had 8 people living in a 3-bedroom apartment. We brought 2 staff over from South Africa. God's grace enabled us. Let me tell you, it takes grace to live with 8 people in a 3-bedroom apartment. You need some grace for that. And everybody survived. For 10 years, I traveled back to South Africa. We had a church in Cape Town. And I continued pastoring the church while we were establishing this church. And for 10 years, I made more than 50 trips to South Africa. Now, let me tell you, South Africa, it ain't no joke. It's like 26 hours by the time you get there. It was the grace of God enabled me. Every 3 weeks, I'd be on a plane flying to South Africa. I'd spend 2 weeks there, and I'd fly back here for 3 weeks. And then I'd go back there for 2 weeks, and then I'd fly back here for 3 weeks. I did that for years. It was the grace of God that enabled me to do that. Got to be grace, because now just the thought of flying. I love going places. I just hate going through all the ordeal to get there. Are you with me? But when opportunity abounds, God doesn't sit back and say, okay, show me what you're made of. Let's see what you can do. No, when you stay in faith and you humbly trust God, he gives you grace. He gives you favor. He gives you wisdom. He gives you strength to do what you couldn't normally do. Maybe you have a major opportunity right now before you, and maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I don't feel like I'm qualified. I don't feel like I'm up to it. Your mind is telling you, you don't have what it takes. You better play it safe. No, like with me, you're going to feel a power that you never felt before. I want to tell you, God's grace is going to cause you to go further and accomplish more and overcome what you thought was impossible. Can you say amen, somebody? You need to get ready because new opportunities are coming your way. I'm prophesying to you, new doors about to open for you, new businesses, new friendships, new ideas. The grace of God is going to cause these things to happen in your life. And let me tell you the good news. With the new opportunities comes a new level of God's grace in your life. He's going to equip you. He's going to empower you to go through those new doors and become everything He created you to be. At every stage of your life, God's grace is going to be there to help you make it through victoriously. Say, every stage of my life, the grace of God is going to be there to help me to make it through victoriously. See, some of you, when you look into your future, you don't feel like you have what you need to accomplish what God's put in your heart. But don't worry about it, because when you get to that season, you will have it. When you're faced with a task that you don't feel you're any good at, you will discover on the inside talent and ability that you didn't even know that you had. When you find yourself over your head, but you know it's where you're supposed to be, you can rest assured that the power of the Most High God is going to come upon you to accomplish what He wants you to do. What I'm saying, there's going to be a favor that causes you to stand out in the crowd. There's going to be a strength when you should have given up. What is it? It's God's grace showing up in your time of need. So you don't have to worry about your future. Say, I don't have to worry about my future. I don't have to worry, how am I going to overcome that obstacle? I don't have to worry about the changes I'm going to face in my future. No, in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about a thorn in his flesh, a messenger for Satan, a messenger from Satan that was sent to harass Paul, and he pleaded with the Lord 3 times to do something about it. And you know what God told him? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you read it from the New Living Translation, it says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. The Passion Bible says, my grace is always more than enough for you. My grace is always more than enough. Say, thank you, Lord. Your grace is always more than enough. And my power finds full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Do you have weaknesses? Anyone here got weaknesses? Is it only me? Am I the only one with weaknesses here? Anyone got weaknesses? Great. You're in a position for the power of God's grace to work through your life. The weaker you are, the greater you see God's grace. But you've got to depend on it. You've got to look for it. God's grace will enable you to do what you can't do by your own ability, by your own strength, by your own wisdom. Can I tell you how to receive grace today as we wrap this up? How do you receive grace? This is the secret. It's up to us to learn how to receive God's grace. How do you do it? Very easy. Romans 5 verse 2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Do you know how you access the grace of God? The same way that you receive everything else from God, by faith. You receive God's grace the same way you receive anything from God, through faith. That's how you first receive God's grace when you got saved. Remember we said Ephesians 2 verse 8 said, for by grace you were saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. We all were saved we received grace initially through faith. How does faith work? The Bible tells us how faith works. Romans 10 verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What's the word of faith which we preach? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. How did we first receive the grace of God? Because we believed in our heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. And we confess Jesus as Lord. We believe, we confess, we receive grace. How do you access the grace of God in your life today? The same way, by faith. Faith works by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. That's how you receive grace to be saved, and that's how you'll see grace multiplied and increased in your life. To access God's grace by faith, what it means is you get up in the morning and you say, Father, I want to thank you for your grace today. I want to thank you that your grace is bigger than anything I'm going to face today. I want to thank you, Lord, if somebody does me wrong today, I know I have the grace to forgive them. If I get stuck in traffic, I have the grace to keep a good attitude. If my marriage gets difficult, if my child acts up, I know that's not a surprise to you, Lord. You've already empowered me, so I refuse to worry. I take hold of your strength. I receive your favor. I know I have the grace to live this day in victory. By the grace of God, I overcome sin. By the grace of God, I live a holy life. By the grace of God, I am strong. That's how you access grace, is simply with your faith. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Let me tell you, it's good to do that at the beginning of the day, then all through the day. It's empowering to say, Father, I receive your grace. I receive your favor. I receive your strength. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in my life. When you do that, you're accessing grace. And you'll not only feel stronger and more confident, but your faith is what allows God to release his goodness in your life in a greater way. Some of you, when you look ahead, there's a thousand things you could worry about and wonder, how am I going to handle that? What if I get laid off? What am I going to do when my loved one dies? What about when my child leaves for college? Here's the key. You don't have grace for 5 years from now, or next year, or even next month, or even tomorrow. You have grace for today. And if you stay in faith today, then when you get to tomorrow, there'll be grace for that day. But as long as you're looking ahead and worrying and wondering, then you're going to live frustrated in your life. You've got to live one day at a time, because this is the only day that you have grace for. Maybe you're in a marriage that's difficult, or raising a child that's difficult, or maybe you're unemployed and you need a job right now. It's easy to think, Pastor Steve, I can't do this for another year. It's just too hard. God's not asking you to do it for another year or another month or another week. He's asking you to do it for one more day. Can you stand strong one more day? Can you keep a good attitude one more day? Because if you can make it one more day, then when you wake up in the morning, God will have a new fresh supply of grace waiting on you the next day. In John 1:16, it says, from him we have received grace heaped upon grace. So you see this principle throughout the Bible. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were on their way to the promised land, God gave them manna every morning. He's rained down manna, which was a kind of bread from heaven. It would appear on the ground. And he specifically told them only to gather enough for one day's supply. If they gathered more, it would spoil. In the same way, God doesn't give you grace a year at a time or a month at a time. No, every 24 hours, God has a fresh supply of grace for you. Amen? Amen. How are you going to make it through that slow season at work one day at a time? How are you going to raise that child that's hard one day at a time? Amen? Amen. Like I heard the story. Any of you heard of Corrie Ten Boom? She wrote a book how during the Second World War, she hid Jewish people from the Nazis. And she saved many lives. Eventually, they caught her. They put her in prison. She was in a concentration camp. And she saw all kinds of atrocities there. And she even witnessed the death of her father and her sister. She saw them being killed. And through a series of accidental events, she was released. Her life was spared. And in spite of all the senseless killing, she never got bitter. In fact, she even forgave the man who killed her family. And someone asked her, how did you make it through that? Seeing such terrible acts of hatred, and how could you still be loving and forgiving and kind? And she answered with a story. She said, when she was a little girl, her dad took her on train rides throughout Europe, and he would always purchase the tickets weeks in advance, but he wouldn't give her ticket until right before they boarded the train because he didn't want her to lose it. So when he saw the headlights of the train pulling in the station, he'd hand her the ticket and they'd step on board. And she said to the person who asked her the question, how did you handle it? She said, the reason you can't fathom how I could forgive the person who killed my family, how I could not be filled with hatred and resentment and bitterness is because, just like my father and those train tickets, God doesn't give us the grace we need until we are about to step on board. She said, if you were ever to go through something like I went through, I can assure you God's grace will be there to help you make it through the dark valleys with your head held high, with your heart filled with love. Amen. See, maybe when you look ahead, you don't see how you can overcome that obstacle or how you can accomplish that dream that God's put in your heart or how you can forgive someone who hurt you. But when you get there, God will hand you the ticket. He already purchased it on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And when you come to a dark valley or a difficult season or a sickness, you don't have to worry about it, family, because your Heavenly Father will hand you the ticket. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the favor. He'll give you the forgiveness to do what you need to do. Amen, somebody? I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel appeared to Mary and said she was going to have a child, even though she never knew a man. And she dared to believe. She said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. But if you think about it, Mary didn't ask to have this baby. It was a great blessing. It was a great privilege. She went down in history, you know, but in a sense, it was a great burden because Mary had been planning a wedding. I have no doubt she'd already invited the bridesmaids. She'd already made plans for the reception. Now her plans are interrupted. She's got to tell her family and friends for some reason the wedding is off. She doesn't know if Joseph, her fiancé, is going to leave or going to stay. Instead of having this big wedding celebration, she's got to move quietly to another city. She didn't plan to have her first baby in a manger. She didn't plan on having to hide her child for 2 years. Some of you aren't where you plan to be in life. You never planned on raising a child with special needs. You never planned on being alone and single after many years of marriage. You never planned on dealing with that sickness or taking care of that loved one who's ill. You never planned it. You could say like Mary, Lord, I didn't ask for this. This isn't what I planned. But just like with Mary, God's going to give you the grace to do what he has put before you, a divine empowerment. God will never give you an assignment without giving you the ability and the strength to make it through it victoriously. Can you say amen? Some of you are even dealing with a situation right now. It wasn't your fault. Other people did you wrong, but now you're having to bear the brunt of it. It wasn't fair. It may be a heavy load to carry, but with every right choice you make, there will be a reward. It may not seem like it. You taking the high road, you're doing all the work, but you're not getting any credit. You may even be tempted to get discouraged and even embarrassed. You may think to yourself, this isn't what I asked for. This isn't what I had planned. Someone else messed up my life. Let me challenge you. If you can just shake off the self-pity and if you can just shake off the bitterness, you'll discover that God is a God of justice and he will pay you back for every unfair thing that has happened. There will be a reward for carrying out his assignment. Amen. Amen. You may be required to do something that is difficult, but let me tell you, God has given you the grace for the season you're in. And that difficulty is not going to last forever. In the hard times, you got to remind yourself, there's a reward coming. Amen. God promised that he'll give you beauty for ashes. He said he'll pay you back for the sacrifices you've made. Some of you are close to your payday. You've done the right thing month after month and year after year. You are just around the corner from seeing God turn that situation around. He's going to pour out favor in ways that you never imagined, family. He's going to make sure you're well compensated. Amen. Let me tell you, part of receiving the grace of God is programming your mind with the right thoughts. Maybe you have elderly parents. You're going to have to take care of them soon. Don't start telling yourself, oh, this is going to be so hard. Oh, it's just not fair. As soon as my children get raised, now look what I have to deal with. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. No, take the ticket. You are well able. Have the attitude. I can do what I need to do. God, just like Mary, I may not have asked for it, but I know you give me grace for this season. I know you multiply strength. You multiply my time in the name of Jesus. You got to make sure you're thinking the right thoughts. Because if you're dwelling on things like, oh, it's so hard, it's so difficult, I can't take it any longer, then your own thoughts will defeat you. You'd see a major change in your life if you just get up in the morning and instead of saying, I can't do this another day, I can't change another dirty diaper, I can't deal with another grouchy customer, no, get rid of that. And with the Apostle Paul, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things. You want to know the secret to overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger? And I find the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. The Christ's power infuses me with strength. I can do all things through Christ. In Romans 1:5, it says, through him, a joy-producing grace cascaded into us, empowering us. 1 Timothy 6:21, may God's grace empower you always. Say this, say, God, I thank you. Your grace empowers me. Say, I thank you. You've given me grace for the season I'm in. I'm making a decision to take the ticket that you've provided. You see, do you know you can increase God's grace in your life? In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be revealed to you. Do you know that God has greater grace for you? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, continue to grow and increase in God's grace. Say, Lord, I thank you that I am continuing to grow. I'm increasing in your grace. See, you can increase God's grace or you can nullify God's grace. The scripture says in Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace of God. That means you can nullify God's grace. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we beg you, don't take God's grace for granted, allowing it to have no effect on your life. You can allow God's grace to have no effect on your life. Galatians 5:4, if you want to be made holy by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you've cut off more than your flesh. You've cut yourself off from the anointed one and you've fallen away from the revelation of grace. You see, how do we nullify God's grace? How do we fall from grace? How do we cause God's grace to have no effect in our life? This is how. Because we start our Christian life by depending on the grace of God. That's how we got saved. But then we try and live the Christian life in our own strength, by self-effort, by our own ability. We fall from grace because grace is what empowers you to live victoriously. You got to learn to depend on the grace of God. Are you getting something out of this? I'm going to wrap it up with this because I know I preached a long time today. So I'll make it shorter next week. How about that? 1 Peter 1:13 says, fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you. Depend on the grace of God. How do you depend on God's grace? Easy. By saying, Lord, I thank you. Your grace makes me strong. I thank you, Lord, by your grace, I live a holy life. By the grace of God, I overcome sin. By the grace of God, I have strength. You release your faith. Sometimes life gets interrupted with disappointments and adversities. But here's the good news. With disappointments and things we didn't plan for comes a new level of God's grace, a new level of his favor, a new level of his wisdom, a new level of his provision. Amen? Not just to sustain us, but to help us to overcome, to help us to be victorious, even in the midst of that difficulty. I know some of you have gone through things the average person would have given up, betrayals that should have made you bitter. But like Corrie Ten Boom, you took the ticket and instead you forgave the person anyway. God not only brought you out, but you are better now than ever. You're a living example of God's goodness and God's grace. Some of you, you had a rough start in life. People try to push you down, tell you what you couldn't become. You've been lied about. You've been through disappointments, but instead you took the ticket and now you're having the last laugh. You're enjoying God's blessings and favor like never before. My prayer is that on a daily basis, we will receive God's grace, that you will get up every day and that you will say, Lord, I receive your grace today. I know I'm equipped. I know I'm empowered for anything that comes my way because of the grace of God. I'm asking you to quit worrying about tomorrow. When you get to that day, God will have a fresh supply of grace waiting on you. Amen. Learn to live one day at a time. Remember, nothing you're facing is a surprise to God. Nothing you're ever going to face is a surprise to God. His grace will always be sufficient in every season if you will learn to receive and depend upon the grace of God. Not get bitter, not get discouraged when you face difficulty. God promises that he's not just going to bring you out. He's going to give you eagle's wings. You're going to soar higher and higher. You're going to overcome that obstacle. You're going to defeat that enemy. You're going to accomplish that dream. And you're going to live that life of victory God has in Jesus' name. If you receive it today, give God some thanks. Come on, give God some praise. Say, thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Say, I depend upon the grace of God. Because of grace, I'm strong. Because of grace, I have wisdom. Because of grace, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Bow your head if you would. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank every person who's watching this today. I pray for each and every one that they'd receive your grace today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Listen, while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray right now. I want to pray for anyone. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say, I know for sure where I will spend eternity. I know for certain when I die, I know everything is right with me and God. Or would you have to say, Pastor Steve, when I die, I sure hope I'd go to heaven. I sure hope everything is right with me and God. I'm not sure. Listen, the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of here today. You can know that you have peace with God. You can know that every mistake you ever made in your life, it's forgiven and cleansed and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. Because I want to make sure all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. If you want to be included in this prayer right now, I ask you, just quickly, just lift up your hand. Just raise your hand up high. Say, Pastor Steve, here's my hand. Pray for me. Include me in that prayer. I want to make sure all is right between me and God. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. I see hands. God bless you. God bless you. I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, please say this prayer with me today. In fact, everybody, can we all please say this prayer together? Everybody say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that by your grace, you sent Jesus, your son, to come to the earth to pay the price for my sin, to die on a cross for me. And you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. So I do this today. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Cleanse me. Say, I surrender my life to you. I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I thank you because I have received you. Say, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Say amen, everybody. Amen and amen. Praise God. The Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person gives their life to Christ. And we rejoice and we congratulate everyone who raised their hand. Best decision you ever made in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Jill's coming up right now. We're getting ready to give to the Lord. Any givers in the house here today? Come on, I know you are. I thank God for this church. I want to thank everyone who's been so faithful to be giving and giving online. We have people that haven't been able to come to church, but they've been faithfully giving. And we want to thank you for your faithful giving. And I want you to know that because you honor God, God honors you. Because you honor God, He honors you. Amen. You're going to encourage us as we give today?
I want to read a scripture concerning grace-filled giving, because the grace of God carries to every area of our life. So as you prepare yourself to give, those that are watching online, you can go ahead and just give online, and it'll lead you in a couple of steps. And there's various ways that you can give. It'll come up on the screen. If you're sitting here, you can use the envelope if you'd like to. But I want to read from 2 Corinthians 8. I'm just going to read a couple of verses and follow along with me. Paul's writing and he says, "Beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace God poured out on the churches of Macedonia. For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy. From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. For I can testify that they spontaneously gave, not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. Paul's talking very openly about giving and how it was different. What was different about it? Verse 4, it says, they actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty. They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. And that is why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and encouraged you to give, so he could help you complete this generous undertaking on your behalf. Now listen to this verse. He says, you do well and excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, and in sharing the love we've shown to you. He says, so make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. Now, I like that because we've been hearing here that grace is God giving us the ability to do what we couldn't do in our natural ability. So what would grace-filled generosity be? Well, grace-filled is where you could have been worried, you are instead joyful. You know, these people we're reading about, it says that they were experiencing extreme poverty. And yet, because of the grace of God, they were joyful and extravagantly generous. That's grace-filled giving, right? It's grace-filled giving is being expectant instead of concerned. You can be concerned all day, every day, 24/7. You could be concerned because the economy, because the pandemic, because the what if. But grace-filled generosity means I give because I have an expectancy and I'm not concerned. Extravagant, grace-filled generosity is where I can be extravagantly generous instead of hanging on to everything I've got just in case. Just for a rainy day, I better hold on to it. You know, you got to hold on to it. Instead, I'm extravagantly generous. And it says to excel. He says you excel in faith, you excel in love, you excel in all these things. Now, excel in grace-filled giving. To excel means to be exceptionally good at something. It means to be very proficient. So that means that we can give or we could be really good at giving. I like the sound of that. In fact, the word excel is from the word lofty, which means that you kind of out there with your giving. You know, I think probably your families probably think that about you anyway, right? I know our family is like, you do what? You give what? Like, you give 10%? You give above that? What's wrong with you? You know, you're an idiot. You're brainwashed. They'll say all of that stuff to you. But you're out there. You're out there with your giving because of the grace of God that fuels you. And so I encourage you today to just to always be pushing higher. Pushing higher. You know, tithing is like training wheels. It's like the starting point. We tithe, we bring back to God the 10%, but don't leave it there. Say, you know what, this year I'm going to give more than I did last year. And the next year I'm going to give more than I gave that year. Just always be pushing yourself to excel in the area of giving. Amen. And because of the grace of God, we're able to live in faith and not fear. No matter what, let me tell you, no matter what you face, just like Pastor Steve said, the grace of God, the provision of God, the supply of God is more than you could ever need. Amen? Praise God. Well, go ahead. Let's get ready to give. There he is. I saw him leave his seat. I didn't know. Come and pray.
Praise God. Amen. Father, I thank you today. Every giver in this church, Lord, and I thank you that you promised that when we give and when we tithe, that you would open the windows of heaven and blessings would chase after us. And Lord, I thank you that blessings are chasing your people down. I thank you for your favor and your protection around every giver, Lord, that the devourer will not steal from them. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for supplying every need. I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who's our provider, the God who's more than enough. Thank you, Lord, for providing. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for your giving today. I want to encourage you before we go. If you don't have a Passion Bible, it's been out a few years, but I encourage you to read the book of Galatians from the Passion Bible, because the book of Galatians is really the book all about God's grace. And I just read it like yesterday, and it was just so powerful. I was so moved. I was praying last night, and I was praying for you, and I was reading my Bible, and I came out of my office, and my wife Jill and Mike were watching TV. They were watching TV. I was praying. She was praying early in the morning. So I came out and said, I've got to read this to you, man. And I just about read then the whole book of Galatians from the Passion Bible. It is just awesome. We got the Passion Bible out there in the bookstore. I really encourage you to give it. It only has the New Testament. So the Old Testament I read from New King James, because the Passion haven't translated the whole Old Testament. I hope they will soon. But it's the New Testament, but it's a great Bible. So praise God. How many glad you came to church today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Stand up with us. Come on, let's as we go, before you leave, let's raise our hallelujah one more time. Nate and Leslie, come on, let's say, I raise a hallelujah no matter what I face. I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy.
We raise a hallelujah, Lord. We raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is my melody. Fight for me, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roll up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost, you hold on me.